96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, CFAO, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, the Water and Sewage Corporation, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution. Here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I'm getting some feedback. I'm going to try to work through that and not be distracted by the feedback. But if you're in the production studio and you're hearing this, I think I may be receiving two feeds. I don't know. I'm not very good with technology. Okay. Today, we have, that's better. All right, good. I want to hear my guest though. Okay, today is Thursday, June 6, 2022. And you're listening to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Tomorrow is, of course, Labor Day. Congratulations to the labor movement. I hope you guys have fun on the march. And Monday is Whit Monday. For the past 10 years, we've been speaking about what Whit Monday means. I still don't understand what it means, but I'll take the holiday. We have today, at the top of the show, two very special guests joining us to speak about issues in the Bahamas, as well as in the United States and Canada that interconnect us. So joining me today, I have with me U.S. Embassy in Nassau, Chargé d'Affaires, Usha Pitts. And I also have joining me for the first part of the show, Canadian High Commissioner Emina Tudakovich. If I butchered that, just say so. I'm not perfect.
You're not perfect. Emina Tudakovich.
Emina Tudakovich.
There you go.
Ballpark.
You were close. You were like four syllables away.
There you go. Exactly. Well, welcome to the revolution, ladies. This is the first time. Thank you. I turned my camera on and I'm in my bedroom and my wife's not going to be happy about it. But this is the first time I've met you. I know that Mrs. Pitts, you've been here for over a year. I don't know how I let that happen, but there's the pandemic, so we don't know. But it's good to meet you over Zoom. I've been following you guys closely. I've also been following Canada trying to reestablish more ties with the Bahamas through the High Commission. And I haven't met you, Ms. Tudakovich, but I plan to whenever you come to the Bahamas. Be sure and let me know. I'll come and say hi, have some tea or something like this. I haven't met you, but I've read your biographies, and I promised myself I would stop doing that with foreign diplomats because I always feel as though I've accomplished so little with my life. You guys have been all over the world, are extremely well-educated, and we're thankful that they send such qualified people to liaise with the Bahamas. So it's great having you here and great having you on The Revolution. Welcome.
You know, Juan, I got to say, my father used to say something to me. He used to say, you know, Usha, don't let your education get in the way of your schooling.
there you go.
And it went reverse. Don't let schooling get in the way of your education.
There you go.
And he was commenting that maybe I was spending a little bit too much time in school and should maybe spend a little bit more time out in life. So trust me, despite my superfluous degrees, I actually believe that you don't actually need to spend as much time in school that we all think we do.
Excellent. What I like when I talk with foreign diplomats is that they've usually been all over the world. Particularly when you have high-profile countries, large countries like Canada and the U.S., and they often can give you insight into the fact that things are often very different culturally around the world, but normally people are all the same. And so we're usually trying to connect on that basic level of humanity and trying to understand each other's humanity. And the differences that we think separate us so largely, but actually often the nuances of those things are what kind of bring us together. So today is June 2nd. Yesterday was June 1st. It was the start of Pride Month in the United States and in Canada. We don't have a Pride Month in the Bahamas. We have several LGBT organizations that celebrated Pride Week in October, and they released a statement earlier this week. But clearly, LGBTQI plus issues in the last 20 years, I would say, it's been longer than that, but in the last 20 years have really come to the fore of when we talk about equal rights, that movement around the world. There are lots of other issues, but particularly in the Western world, LGBTQI plus issues have really risen to the fore. And so I would like for you to explain to us the thrust that the United States and Canada has in having Pride Month, why it is, what it's about, and what it's meant to do. If you want to start, Ms. Pitts.
Oh, sure. Yeah, thanks very much. So Pride Month, I guess the whole concept of taking pride seriously and when it comes to sexual identity and sexual orientation, it all comes back to a really seminal event, which was the Stonewall Uprising in New York City in 1969. Now, some of your listeners will know that it's not just San Francisco. There are plenty of other locations in the United States where the LGBTQ community has been very active, and New York is one of them. And this uprising in 1969 was just basically anger over mistreatment by the authorities, by law enforcement. And I think any group in the United States that isn't, you know, isn't a dominant grouping in the United States is familiar with how that feels, being targeted, being treated differently. And the Stonewall Uprising in New York City, this gay bar, they basically said, well, that's enough, you know, no mas, we're not going to take it anymore. And that started, that was really the start of the gay movement in the United States. But as you know, as you mentioned, it took a lot longer before I would say the general population came to understand that when we're talking about LGBTQI rights, we're really talking about human rights. I mean, it's just about equal treatment under the law. That's the basis for Pride Month. There's a lot of other things that happen in Pride Month that are fun and celebratory, but the basic call from a political standpoint is equal rights under the law.
Okay, excellent. Ms. Tudakovich, if you would like to weigh in on Canada's position. I would imagine it's much the same, but there are, I would imagine, maybe some differences.
For sure. I mean, you know, I was almost going to say what she said. But, you know, we start from the basic principle that human rights are universal, and that includes rights of the LGBTQ2 community. And so that's, you know, kind of a sacred tenet for Canada in terms of our foreign policy and in terms of our policies in Canada. You're quite right to say that this is fairly new. And then, because I remember changes sort of during my lifetime, and I'm not that old. So, and it started, I remember sort of 70s, 80s in the Canadas as well, following the US model where there was just, you know, kind of a movement for equal rights under the law, which was a significant undertaking. And then there was also the work, I guess, the subtle work and the changing of Canadian public opinion in terms of things like, you know, marriage between homosexual couples, or, you know, allowing health and disability benefits to go to, you know, the same-sex partner in a relationship, et cetera. So that's taken more time. But I think that that whole, you know, over the years become, not, I wouldn't say a non-issue, but universally, if you poll Canadians, they're very supportive of LGBTQ rights. That doesn't mean we're fully there yet, but the shift has really been in the last sort of 20 to 30 years, where, especially with, around gay marriage, this was a hugely kind of divisive, I mean, hugely divisive in a Canadian sense. It wasn't as hugely divisive as it's been in some countries, but once it happened, it's now a non-issue. And so this is where our movement has done. But for us, it's really part of our advocacy for universal human rights. And this is an area where, you know, and Pride Month itself, as Yusha said, like the fact of taking pride is, you know, you hear these terms of being in the closet or being hidden. And I have colleagues and friends who have only come out in the last 10 years, right? And because they weren't sure how their parents would react, how their friends would react. And so pride is about, you know, really celebrating that identity, which is seminal to people's personhood. So
absolutely. I think, you know, I'm no expert of what's happening in the Bahamas. I'm a journalist, and I've chronicled it, and I've seen it, and I've seen the different international reactions to it and what we have here. But I think what perhaps we could use a bit more of, and I'd like to know how the U.S. and Canada can help us with this, is just kind of understanding that at the core of it, it's about the basic dignity of human beings to live the lives that they choose if they're not harming others. I grew up in an extremely conservative household, you know, Christian, Anglican, Episcopalian, in your neck of the woods household. And it was not even an issue. And in fact, when the first time I remember any of this really being public, I'm 45 years old, so I wasn't around for Stonewall. But the first time I remember any of this really being public was when the issue of don't ask, don't tell came up during the Clinton administration. And it was such a thorny issue for them to navigate. And I remember sitting in the Bahamas, and I was a teenager at the time, and we were mystified as to what was actually going on, because we didn't understand that there was actually a culture of openly gay people who, you know, were advocating for rights. Because here, it's not that way now, but when I was a teenager, when I was a young kid, this was something that was completely in the dark, in the closet, you know, pardon the pun, but it was not something that was public and that was outright. And I think the lack of information, the lack of connecting this to the people you actually know and love, leads people to be a lot more harsh in their views about it. Because even as conservative as we are in the Bahamas, I found that sometimes the most conservative of people will often open their hearts when they're realizing that it's their children, their nieces, their nephews, their cousins, and they, you know, drift along the line of acceptance, but certainly tolerance, I find is more likely nowadays in the Bahamas. What have you guys seen in your experience being here? What's your assessment?
Yeah, so you mean my assessment of being here in the Bahamas? Or
right.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's interesting, because like you say, I've lived in a lot of different countries, and every country is different. And you could say that homophobia is different in every country too. You know, we all have our different issues. And I guess I've been an activist in LGBTQI rights ever since college, which was the first time, which is when this don't ask, don't tell policy was getting kicked around, became a political issue that you referenced. So, I realized back in college that, you know, I was using epithets to refer to insult, as, you know, to insult other people, you know, the F word, or here in the Bahamas, more commonly the S word. You know, people throw the S word around like,
yeah, you know, night and day. Yeah.
It's right. Totally socially acceptable. You can say that in the grocery store. No one's going to look at you funny. Right. Mm-hmm. But I stopped using those words in college, which was 30 years ago now. because I realize it's a word of hate. And even worse, and I'm speaking because we're living in a Black country, and I'm African American, you know. Anytime you use words of hate against people for the way they were born, right? That to me is a violation of our fundamental humanity. And I think that counts for race, it counts for gender, it counts for sexual orientation. I do not insult people based on the way they were born. I just don't do that anymore. And like I said, it started with my realization in college that I was using those words as insults. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? That's not okay. So you see, it's been an evolution. And you know, like I say, as I became active on this issue as a diplomat, I always support my president's policy. So President Biden is very active on this issue, which allows me to express my own personal feelings on it. You know, I'm not always, don't always have the leeway to do that, but I do now. And so I'm very proud that I can come here in the Bahamas and talk to Bahamians about this idea that all of these issues, whether it's gender, whether it's race, whether it's sexual orientation, they are all linked. They are all about equality, respect, and humanity. And so I hope that Pride Month will give us a chance to kind of advance that conversation and understand the universality of our shared humanity. That's really where what it means, what pride means for me here in the Bahamas.
Excellent. Ms. Tudakovich, I got a different sort of question for you. Since you have been part of Canada's reestablishment of, firmer diplomatic ties with the Bahamas, do you feel the sense that you got a correct impression of the Bahamas from Canada, from Jamaica, and now that you're here, it's what you thought it was, or is it something different? And I know Jamaica has a lot of the same issues that we have.
So, and I was supposed to be in the Bahamas this week, but my flights were canceled, and I will not name the airline who just decided to cancel my flights and screw up my week. I obviously follow the Bahamian news. I've been there once. I have to admit, on this issue, I was actually surprised at attitudes in the Bahamas, because I think, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, people think of the Bahamas as, and people think of the Bahamas as kind of a resort destination, and it's laid back, and which it is in many ways. But I was surprised when talking to groups and my colleagues to find that level of intolerance. You said something which I thought was really interesting. You talked about your own experience in your own family. You talked about tolerance versus acceptance and that kind of almost a continuum. And for me, it's, there's a need to be more than just tolerant, it's accepting, because tolerance means you kind of hold your nose and do it. We've all done that in our life with things. But when you talk about something like basic human rights, this is where acceptance is necessary. And Usha, your story about coming to the realization when you're in college, for me, I grew up in Vancouver, which is where a lot of gay pride happens in Canada. This is where it started. And I also came from a family, we came from Eastern Europe, for years. Like, it was in college when I started arguing with my parents about gay rights, because my father was like, "You don't understand," and I'd be like, "You're just an old dinosaur, Dad," as every sort of 20-year-old who suddenly discovered the world says. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was that they didn't understand. Like, my dad seriously just didn't understand. He's like, "Why would you want to be with another man if you could have a woman?" And I was like, "Dad, because that's what you like," but it wasn't until actually I was in my late 20s and I was working, and I realized, I have a very, one of my best friends is gay. And she was in the closet well into university, and she didn't even tell me. And I was her closest friend. I know where this woman's skeletons are buried. But she didn't know that I would accept it, and that it really wasn't an issue for me. And I realized that it wasn't enough for me to just be kind of quietly accepting. I had to actually speak up. I had to be really visible in my, not just tolerance, but acceptance of gay rights and of, and so it was kind of one of these moments where I was like, oh yeah, just the fact that I never said anything bad isn't enough to make even a really close friend of mine realize how important it was. So I think, you mentioned specifically on the Bahamas, it's delicate, but again, it comes to sort of these issues which are really fundamentally important to the government of Canada. And I'm quite lucky at the moment that my own views are aligned as well with my government views. But it's an issue which I think, there's work that needs to be done, and it's important work.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How do you advance that? So what, I'll say it a different way when we talk about the line between tolerance and acceptance, right? So I would talk to the most hardcore person who, in the Bahamas, who's God-fearing, Bible-thumping. And normally what I hear is, I don't have a problem with gay people. I'm just not trying to see it all in my face. So I'm not trying to see two guys holding hands, or I'm not, and so it's like, I don't have a problem. I'm okay with it, as long as I don't have to deal with it. And I was like that for a long time too. And then I said to myself, well, it's not enough to just say you don't have a problem with something. People should be able to be free to be who they are. And I think that's the hump that we got to cross in the Bahamas. I don't know how to get there. Like I say, I've come from very conservative environments, but I have quite a number of people I know who are LGBT, and they just want to live their lives. I think what happens sometimes is there's this misconstruence that they want to take over our lives, as opposed to they just want to live their lives. So how does Canada and the U.S. Help us get beyond, I don't have a problem with it, to just let them be who they are?
So Juan, I'm going to take a little bit of an issue with this idea that you can say, I don't have a problem with gay people, I just don't want to see it. Because that's not tolerance.
That's a problem.
Far from tolerance. Because like you say, what you're doing is you're saying that behavior, public behavior, is okay for you. You can hold hands with whomever you want, but other people can't, you know? So that's anybody who says, you know, I just don't want to see it. It's not, this is not a passive thing. That is an active expression of intolerance. Because what you're saying is the rules are different for them than it is for you. And that's why I take issue with that idea. I don't, you know, I'm not out here trying to tell people or tell the Bahamas that they have to be one way or another. Mm-hmm. But what I am trying to say is that my country and my president stands for equal treatment of LGBTQI plus people, equal treatment under the law, equal treatment in society. That's all that I'm trying to say here. And so anybody who says, well, I don't know these people. We all know people who are LGBTQI plus. We all know them. Some of them say they are, some of them don't say anything. And I respect them. You know, everyone has their own sort of level of where they want to be with their, how expressive they want to be with their identity. But the fact is, they are part of our community. They're all around us. They're part of our families, you know? And so what makes me sad is anybody that would say that they don't have the same rights to behave the way they want to marry the person they love. I just feel that that's very sad that we would prevent people that we love, who are members of our communities and families, from doing that.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Tudakovic, what do you think, how do you think Canada helps to increase acceptance through its mission?
I mean, some of this, you know, first of all, just what Usha said, I mean, that's exactly the part of the big point here. I think as foreign missions in countries, like, you know, it is very delicate what we can and can't say. Like, we're not telling the Bahamas to do anything specifically. What we're trying to do is promote these ideas of universal human rights, of acceptance, and LGBTQ rights are is an area where, you know, almost globally it's lacking. Mm-hmm. And so our way, like, we do work with, for example, with civil society organizations, and we try and prop them up a little bit. And some of our, you know, activities are also, you know, they're also, I guess the word would be moral support, right? So we're having this discussion actually here in Jamaica, because we're planning to fly the Pride flag for the first time this summer during Pride Week here. Yeah. and it's not going to be, it's controversial here. And what's interesting is I was talking to some activists and they said, look, you know, you're going to annoy a lot of people if you do this. And I personally would much rather annoy some people, but if I give at least one or two, or maybe even more people, kind of this support to feel that they're not alone, that someone else, you know, that there is an acceptance for what they are and who they are. It's a very powerful symbolic gesture. And a lot of what diplomacy is symbolic, right? So even by us being here on this show, knowing that we're dealing with a topic that is sensitive in the Bahamas, there's no intention to offend the Bahamas. It's really just to underscore, you know, the need to be, you know, that more could be done. And it's past this issue of tolerance, but it's acceptance. And as you said, Usha, I think you point out really well, there are people with different identities everywhere, right? And we're talking about the LGBTQ minority. And when there's harassment, when there's inequality before the law, it's not a good thing for society at all. It's not a good thing for families. Mm-hmm. And if in the end you say, look, my brother's gay and I like my brother, so that's okay. That's not enough, right? It's your, you know, you don't like your brother despite him being gay. Right? It should be that it's just part of the package as a human being.
So I got to ask you, you said that you talked to some groups in Jamaica, which always is weird to me because Jamaica got a large gay population, a large LGBT population. But you said you talked to some groups in Jamaica and they say, well, you're going to annoy some people. And so I got to ask you, I guess I would ask Ms. Pitts first, since this has already happened. Visibility. When you are visible in countries where, you know, it's a controversial issue a lot of places, but when you're visible in countries where it's a controversial issue like the Bahamas, it's not necessarily people are going to, you know, riot or anything like that in the Bahamas, but people will comment. It might raise their ire. When you fly the rainbow flag, do you get LGBT people saying thank you, or do you get them saying, can you just tone it down a bit? You know what I mean? Like, so honestly, I'd like to know, do they tell you the visibility helps?
Well, I don't know if they specifically say the visibility helps, but the visibility helps. Mm. And there's kind of two ways that it helps. One is that just the fact that people will discuss it means that the conversation sort of comes out of the shadows. You know, people can talk about it. I feel like in the Bahamas, a lot of time, people don't even really want to talk about it. You know, LGBT, it's just something you make jokes about, or you harass your friends about, accuse them of being gay or something like that, right? Mm. But when you raise the rainbow flag, which is, like Amina says, it's a powerful political statement. When you raise that flag, people start talking. And until people start talking, you do not have progress. You can't move. Society can't change until you start talking about it. So that's one reason why I think it's important to do, an important activity. The other thing, and this happened last year because the U.S. Embassy raised the rainbow flag last year for the first time. And yeah. Amina, congratulations. I'm glad to hear that Canada is joining us this year. Yeah, we did take a lot of flack for it. And I have to admit, I felt pretty badly about it because, you know, my goal was not to piss a bunch of people off. That wasn't what I was trying to do. I was trying to reflect the U.S. administration's policy and join all the other U.S. embassies around the world that were raising the rainbow flag. But we took a lot of flack. I felt badly. But I remember maybe a week or so later, I went and visited this local high school. I was trying to teach the kids how to play Ultimate Frisbee. So we were running around and throwing the Frisbee around. And I kind of mentioned to them, you know, how sorry I was that I had taken all this flack over raising the rainbow flag. And those kids stopped and applauded me. Mm. It was one of the most wonderful moments of my diplomatic career, because what it meant was that, you know, despite all the anger we had sparked, we had also sparked a lot of love and enthusiasm. And that's what I had hoped would happen. So whether people come out and say with their outside voice that they appreciate the rainbow flag, there is, I think, a generation of Bahamians or a cohort of Bahamians that appreciate what it means and supports it.
I think that, and I'm no diplomat, but I've interacted with enough of them to understand that diplomacy isn't always, you know, rainbows and butterflies and cupcakes. You know, sometimes.
This month it is.
This month. All right. Pardon my pun. Yeah, maybe wrong analogy. But diplomacy isn't always, you know, the smiles and the handshakes. Sometimes diplomacy is stating that these are the values that we have, and we don't want you to forget it. So, for instance, there's thousands and thousands of Bahamians go to the United States over and over and over every week. And I think that, you know, you got to try to reconcile within your own self, like how you go to this country that you think is so wonderful, and Canada that you think is so wonderful, and separate that these are their values, and they're telling us that these are their values. So you're going to have to accept all of it in terms of your relationship with these countries. Let me ask you another question. And this, you know, this is a sticky one, but sometimes you got to have difficult conversations, right? The 1964 Civil Rights Act in the United States banned discrimination by sex. And it was not until just, was it last year? 2020, that the United States Supreme Court actually said that the Civil Rights Act also applies to sexual orientation and transgender people. So it wasn't until 2015 that the United States legalized gay marriage, and not through any act of Congress, but the United States Supreme Court had to rule on the constitutionality of it. Canada did a little bit before. I think it's 2000 was equal rights, and 2005 was gay marriage in Canada, and that was also through the courts. My question is, for countries as huge as the United States and Canada, as accepting as the United States and Canada, to have struggled for so long to achieve what you now say should be the standard around the world, is it fair to believe that other countries should pick up the pace in what they're doing? Is it fair to believe that legislators should be about the business of doing what other countries say is priority, when it was very difficult for legislators in Canada and the U.S. to make this happen?
You
can go ahead, Mr. DeGoverno.
Sure. you know, you raise the question, is it fair? Yes, I think. I think, you know, the move to legislative fairness in Canada on this issue took a long time. But once it got going, it went quite fast. I mean, and, you know, you mentioned the early 2000s, but some of the provinces had legalized, you know, types of civic partnerships and things like that much earlier. So, you know, 20 years ago seems like a long time ago, or in some ways, but it's also fairly recently. But I think about the strides we've made in various human rights movements over the last century, right? It wasn't until, you know, the 1920s till, you know, women widely had the vote in Canada. You know, there was Switzerland, there were parts in Switzerland where women did not vote till the 1980s. So all of this, frankly, shockingly late. Mm-hmm. But I think just because we're big countries, I don't think that makes the challenge any easier for a country like Canada or the United States. In fact, I think the challenge in a country like Canada, where we're quite multicultural and we have lots of different religions and people coming from all over the world, is actually societal norms. So really, I think, you know, just, you know, you have to start somewhere. And there's already been some interesting, I've seen recommendations from some of your legislative review bodies that there needs to be some activity. So I would strongly urge, you know, the government to look at, you know, both obligations, already existing obligations under things like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, your own laws which forbid discrimination of different forms, to see if as a kind of a bare minimum, the legislative protections are there. But yeah, I mean, it's not really a question of fairness. I think it's, again, we're going back to the universality of human rights and treatment, mm-hmm. and you have to start somewhere. And I think what we found in Canada, and we sort of look back and we don't even almost, like, I think people almost take it for granted that some certain rights are there, but they weren't there immediately. But once they were there, legislatively and protected, there's an acceptance of them, a wide acceptance of them.
Okay. So, Mrs. Pitts, let me ask you, because the Bahamas has joined the United Nations in saying that we believe that it should be a human right to be able to express your sexual orientation, if you are transgender, to be able to choose that and to live that. And we believe, along with the other United Nations that agree, that that is a human right. Is that not enough? Does it need to be in law? It needs to be in practice. Is it not enough to recognize that right? How much further do you need to go?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with equality under the law, right? I mean, you know, the fact is the age of consent is different for heterosexual or homosexual acts. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
If a kid knows what they're doing, they know what they're doing. And if the age of consent is 16, well, it's 16. Like, it doesn't, you give them 2 more years doesn't lessen their confusion somehow. I don't understand that. So
it's nonsense. I can say it if you can. Yeah, it's nonsense.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I think equality under the law is sort of basic. We should work towards that. And but also, you know, of course, there's this much bigger conversation going on too, right? All these other issues, you know, related to acceptance and tolerance and, you know, people's ability to express themselves. Those are bigger issues. And, you know, I was just struck by a friend of mine who works at the embassy with me, a Bahamian. You know, there's about 100 Bahamians that work at the U.S. embassy. So I spend a lot of time with them. And, you know, one of my employees was talking about how, you know, he was going to go and help just kind of keep an eye on a situation where there were going to be some LGBTQI people, because he said, you know, we have situations in the Bahamas where, you know, sometimes people get beaten up for expressing themselves. And I just want to, you know, kind of keep an eye on that situation, which I thought was great of him. You know, we're talking about somebody who has kind of taken a step evolutionarily in terms of, like, seeing that it's not okay just to be like, gay people, okay, we support their rights, we signed the UN Declaration, and now let's just all pretend nothing else is happening. You know, he recognized that there's a lot more going on in society, and that he has a role to play, even though he's not an LGBTQ person, right? He still has a role to play. And so I appreciate it very much that Bahamians are starting to realize that they have a role to participate in advancing the conversation on this issue, because it isn't just about the law, is it? It's about society too.
Right. And what I would say too, I do have another question for Ms. Tudorkovic, but what I would say too is that time does make a difference. Sometimes things don't go as fast as you would like, but when I graduated high school in 1994, no one I graduated with would identify as LGBT, or anyone I know who graduated in that year. Today, that's not the case. When I look at today's generation, my nieces, my nephew, their generation has no compunction about expressing who they are, about being proud about who they are. When I look at people in their 20s, early 20s, I see a lot of that throughout the country. I'm not saying everyone's holding hands singing Kumbaya, but I have seen a change and I have seen a shift. So I think that that is progress. And you got to have these difficult conversations if you're going to move forward. It's sometimes necessary to get out in front how you feel, put out there how I feel, and let's try to work through it. And it's not always easy. Ms. Tudorkovic, I know you guys don't have a lot of time, so I know you got events, but I got to ask you, I want to be misstate what it is. There's a program that allows LGBTQ identifying people to seek asylum, refugee status. Please correct me on whatever the terminology is, in Canada. And there have been quite a number of Bahamians who have done that. I do wonder, though, how do you actually police that? How do you actually determine that they do indeed need refuge?
So I'll back up a bit just to give you some context. So Canada is a strong supporter of refugee rights, including the right to asylum, which is an obligation of countries who are states party to the Refugee Convention. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Canada, and you get to our border, you can ask for asylum. And you ask for asylum generally on the general refugee grounds, which is persecution on the basis of, race, gender discrimination, and for the LGBT group, they fall into under participation in a particular social group. So that's actually quite a wide category. So if you are fleeing a civil war, for example, where they're persecuting a certain ethnic minority, this is the group you would fall under. So there's no special category for LGBTQ people from the Bahamas at all. It's just, so it's nothing. We're not picking on the Bahamas.
That is a widespread perception.
I'd heard that before, and I was like, really? That's just not true. So it's really just not true. So essentially, Canada, I think it was last year, I mean, it's usually 20 or to 30,000 people who arrive in Canada and seek asylum. The Bahamas is not in any way a significant source for asylum claims for Canada. It's actually quite small, and obviously your population is very small. We also, for example, actively resettle refugees. So refugees are someone who have been declared to be a refugee under the UN conventions. We actively take these people from other countries and move them to Canada. But that asylum provision, so if you ask for asylum, you go in front of something called the Immigration Refugee Board in Canada, and that's an independent judicial tribunal. So it's not, it's affiliated to the government because it's a Canadian judicial tribunal, but the decisions are not influenced in any way by Canadian policy or norms, aside from the Canadian legislative framework, which allows people to seek asylum based on certain statuses. So in the case of the Bahamas, if people are curious, if they Google the Immigration Refugee Board and the Bahamas, you will find actually all the documentation that a Canadian a board member, someone sitting on that tribunal, would look at when they assess a claim for someone claiming persecution. So it's not always, by the way, LGBTQ people. We've had asylum claims for the Bahamas based on people fleeing, after Hurricane Dorian, they fled to Canada, stuff like that. So a claim, for example, fleeing from a natural disaster is generally, and I'm speaking generally, considered unfounded. But if you're an LGBTQ person and you can prove that there's some sort of persecution where you live, then your claim may be found to be founded, in which case you would be found to be a refugee, and you would have the right to live permanently in Canada. So you asked how we police that. I mean, it's kind of not the language we use. I don't mean to sound super warm and
I'm sorry,
as a Canadian.
I apologize.
No.
How do you vet it?
How do you vet it? I'm also really pro-migration and refugee and migrant rights. So, but you're right. I mean, for any system, for society to accept it, you have to have the public has to feel that it's fair. So, mm-hmm. So you can find, like, so if you Google it, you can find what they look at. But what decision makers do is they ask people to talk about their experience. They ask them for any proof of their experience. For example, you may have couples that flee to Canada because when they told their parents they wanted to get married, like, first, there was a legislative impediment in their country. They couldn't get married. Second, their parents kicked them out. So you'll ask for some proof, but it's also based in this framework of what we know about the country and about the situation that it happened. So, I mean, it's tricky, but there have been Bohemian claims that have been accepted in Canada. Some have not been. And in most cases, again, like the numbers are so small. And of course, each one is individually determined. So there's no blanket, like if you're Bohemian and gay, you're okay to go to Canada. You have to demonstrate that if you go back, you'd be fleeing persecution.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Pitts, I got one last question for you. We only got about 3 minutes, but I do have a question for my own personal edification and for others out there. So it doesn't seem to be one uniform thing. The LGBTQ seems to be very consistent. I've seen LGBTQ, you guys say LGBTQI+. I've seen LGBTQIA. And when I ask my friends who are LGBT what the A is, they say it's for ally. And I in my head, I'm going, okay, I'm an ally. I know you guys. I want you guys to have. Explain to us what an ally is, please.
Yeah, right. So like I told you, I first started being active on this issue in college. I was an ally because I don't identify as LGBTQI+. Which, by the way, that acronym has grown over the years as we become sort of more and more attuned to the subtleties in human behavior and human identity. I think it's actually quite interesting, you know, because when I was growing up, you know, you were either gay or bisexual or straight, and that was it. And we've come to learn that there's much, much more to it. Human sexuality really is a very interesting spectrum. So anyway, So I've been an ally since college. I think it's somebody who, like I mentioned before, an ally is somebody who actively confronts intolerance, whatever the issue is. So that's where the alliance comes in. And so I've done it, and I'm proud to say that in recognition of Pride Month and celebration of Pride Month, because it really is a in addition to being a political statement, it really is a fun party too. But I went over and I went over to Bon Vivants, which is one of our partners who is supporting Pride Month. It's a cocktail lounge over in Sandyport. And I had one of their Pride cocktails. I had a drink of Love Wins with my kids last night. Yeah, it was really, really nice. But, you know, that's I think, a good example of an alliance. Like they're not just going to passively, take people's money. They are going to take an active participation in their community. And that includes the LGBTQI+ community.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for joining me today. And I thank you for being very open and honest and frank, even if my questions were a bit prickly. I do thank you very much. I have not met either of you. Ms. Pitts, that is a grave oversight on behalf of Lisa Moxie and Daniel Durazzo. So you can blame them.
Listen, Juan. I'm a first time caller, but I'm a long time listener. So you may not have met me, but like any radio personality, I have certainly met you. So
all right, awesome.
Having me on the show, I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you, and thank you, Ms. Tudakovich, and all the best during Pride Month. Great speaking with you.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. Hope to meet you next time in the Bahamas.
We'll
fly direct next time.
Absolutely. just tell them you come to see me.
Exactly. There'll be no problems. Cool. Thanks.
Bye. All right. Thanks so much. Bye. You guys take care. All right. Bye. Bye. All right. We're going to go to a break, pay some bills, and then we'll be back on the other side. We'll talk about national issues. And, you know, if you got some commentary on what we spoke about, we'll be happy to deal with that as well, to the best of my ability. Anyway, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding lives. By knowing what actions you should take to reduce the effects of hurricane disaster, get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, surge protectors, essential supplies, plus so much more before the storm, after the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today at 302-2300 or your account executives. Will you be prepared?
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations.
My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
When it comes to picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first, only one name comes to mind: Will Max Pharmacy, a team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIB drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Wilmax Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio at 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Okay, you can call us, you can text us, 422-4796, 422-4796. And we were talking about Pride Month, LGBTQI plus rights, equal protection under law. That's in the United States and Canada. That's what they have. And that's what they urge for us to have. You can also call us at 323-6232-325-4326-325-4259. And we can talk about some current issues. I get one text. What does it say? Juan, listening to you, but you seem to like or accept gayness. Well, I'm sorry, I hate gayness. So while I think you're a great guy, and please don't take that the wrong way, do the gay thing, but it's at this point you and I part ways, primarily because I believe in the Bible, which condemns gayness. All right, you know, I check you later, man. That you're sitting here thinking that you matter to me, that I know who you are, and that you have any impact on my life or the life of anyone I care about at all, and that somehow seems to have been even a kernel of a thought in your head, means that you're not someone I would ever want to get to know, all right? And I do accept gay people. And if you can't deal with that, then do your thing, right? I have to be able to live with myself. You understand? So I don't know you. But what you, and you seem like you're a lunatic, but what you want is for me to affirm what you believe. But you see, I'm not you. And that's the confusing part for a lot of people. I'm not you. I'm not the voice in your head. I'm not your best friend. I believe as I believe because I am a human sentient being, and that is my right. You believe as you believe. You and I can part ways. I don't want to know you. I don't know you. Enjoy your life. And I'll tell you this, for the people who I do know who are gay and or LGBTQI+, I don't rate them on being gay or straight or whatnot. I rate them on the content of their character and by their actions. So I've known a lot of useless people who are into darkness, all right, who may be LGBTQ. And I know some of the best people on earth. And the same thing for straight people, the same thing for atheists, the same thing for Christians. I accept people for who they are. I don't believe in Islam. I accept the Muslims for who they are. I'm not a Rastafarian. I accept the Rastafarians for who they are. When you start determining whether or not you can get along with people who only have the same views as you, then you're myopic. And you're not someone I want to know or ever do want to have be a part of my life. So we'll part ways. I'll see you, bro. Take your time, all right? I'm predicting I'll be just fine. If we got a call, sure, let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Yeah, Juan.
Hey, what's up?
Man, radio man. Listen, it's and you're right. It's a choice. Okay, all of us know, all of us who grew up in this world, we know that Christ, well, not Christ, God himself, created man and woman. So there's rules and regulations that God has set down for all of us to abide by. But it's a choice. If you choose not to, the United States choose not to, Canada, that's not a problem. But there are consequences to their choice of not accepting what God has set apart. And it's a choice. So if you choose to be whatever you are, I'm not going to condemn you. All of us have to give an account to God. We know what the rules are. I heard the United States comments this morning, and they walk around they run away from the real core of the truth, and they run away from God's word. But that's fine. The United States government will fail at one point in Revelation. They will come to their knees because of what they are doing now, and they are legislating legislative laws, and they will rise again. But God punishes nations and three persons who don't obey by his rules. And it's a choice. I have gay friends too. They know the truth, you know, but that's their choice. I would not condemn them. Let God do the condemn. We know the truth. And if they choose not to, fine, but don't come and infringe my rights, because it means now that you now have to bring a law for me, for a black man, to say, black man fly, white man fly, cupcake fly, bunch of nonsense. So, but let them decide what they want, but it's a choice, I agree. But God is the final say. I appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks a lot. You know, and we can, you know, believe as we believe. But if you're sitting out there wrapped up in your head thinking that I care about what you think about how accepting I am of anyone who's LGBT, I'm not, right? Honestly, like I'm not. We got cultural differences around the world, but I'm happy to sit here and go, I accept people who are LGBT. I accept their right to live as they choose. I accept their right to be. All right. And me and you ain't got to agree on nothing in actuality. Look to your own life. Look to your own experiences to inform, you know, how you go about the world. Don't look to me. We got another call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Gazi.
Hey, how's it going, my brother?
Yeah, we are all condemned by the global elites. You're getting ready for the new digital Earth dollar. In 3 years, you heard this conversation from the World Economic Forum. Those are the kind of things I'm concerned about. But here's what I'm vexed about. I don't have time to talk about foolishness, but what I want to bring out is the fact that the charge they defer that you had on, right? She's representing the blue-eyed bullfrog. Now, the thing is, he's a dictator by all means. And so the fact that she... What offended me was she is throwing the word democracy and freedoms, right? But someone doesn't have the freedom to deny a vaccine, right? That is poisonous, right? And the fact that we don't have a right to deny a vaccine. And then the fact that their government, along with the American government, has set up a paradigm with vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So those freedoms that she's talking about, democracy, is futile, it's meaningless, and it's a farce because there's no freedom. So it's only a one-way paradigm. It's the freedom for the gay rights, but it's not a freedom for me to don't take a vaccine and travel freely. So this is all a farce. This is all a global theatrics and BS. This is what I see as Mr. McCartney. Nobody is willing. All right, people who are recovered naturally, they have natural immunity. They're denying the scientific method. But doctors and scientists don't have freedom of expression, censorship, et cetera. We see all these paradigms being created, but yet still they chew on freedom and democracy in my face. Mr. McCartney, you know, any well-word person can see that the world is moving towards a totalized paradigm. Have a good day, brother.
All right, buddy. I gotcha. This is, I thought the A was for asexual shrug emoji. It's for ally, right? See, here's my thing, right? Like, decide whether you're going to be true to yourself or decide whether you're going to be what other people think you should be so that they'll like you, right? So I got people I know who helped pick me up when I fell down, who helped me do things for my mom when she was sick, who helped my father when he was down. I got someone I know when I was in the U.S. and I was by myself, me and my sister alone. They helped us when we had major problems, right? I got someone I work with who went to bat for me previously to help me advance my career. All these people are LGBT. So you got to figure out what kind of person you are. Are you a real person who, when you need help and somebody you know is LGBT comes and helps you and gives you some assistance, and you take that help and thank them and know you were screwed without that help, know that God probably put them in your path to help you? Are you somebody who's going to take that help in private and let yourself get along? And then when it comes to the public, because you want folk you don't know like you, you condemn those people? Y'all figure out which person y'all want to be. I know what kind of person I am. If I could accept your help when I'm down, I could stand by you and say, you know what? If that's how they choose to live, I'm fine with that. I accept that when I'm up and on the radio and I don't care what nobody thinks. All right? And that's part of where we were in this whole conversation, is that nowadays in the Bahamas, not nowadays, it was always a thing, but people sitting around going, oh, let me judge everybody based on if I perceive them to be homosexual, their proximity to homosexuality. Right? I told you about the guy, what's his name? Gorman Bannister, right? Lunatic guy. And I don't say anything about him because he has a son who he on the fringe of lunacy too. This guy would release voice notes every day. Who on Guardian Radio was gay? A lot of y'all other folk, who was it? Oh, the dude coming that day, what about all the homosexuals in the media? What you talking about? Like y'all sitting out here worrying about who gay and who ain't gay and y'all supposed to be straight. Last time I wondered about what two dudes were doing alone together was never. I don't know how y'all claim to be these alpha males, but so worried about what two dudes doing in the privacy of their own home. So we ain't all built alike. And everyone ain't gonna prop me up as their hero, but I'm gonna keep it real. If you could support me and help me when I'm down, I'm gonna go to bat for you in the public. And I'm not gonna have no problem with that. That y'all are built all faulty and can't stand by your conviction, like stand by it. If you can't stand by a gay person in public when everything's going all right, then when you down on your knees, die by that. Next time the nurse come by you when you're in the hospital, ask them if they're gay or straight. And die by it. Next time you go to a bank and they're about to help you save your home, ask the banker if he's gay or straight. And lose all you got by it. You live your life like that. That's not for me. All right? Y'all are faulty. And it's weird. All right. This says, I think Bahamians talk about people behind their back more than they do in their face, whether you're LGBTQ or Haitian. Yeah, the Haitian, that's the next one. LGBTQ, that's a purity test for a lot of people, right? Can be LGBTQ, can be Haitian, it's a problem. Yeah. It says, whether you're LGBTQ or Haitian or foreigner or white, we do it in our private spaces, but not in public. I think we're very tolerant, if you ask me. Yeah, fair enough. Like I think our generation, one, is quite tolerant, 35 to 45. My sister, them generation, 25 to 34, they don't care at all. It's just normal. It's like really being LGBTQ is easier than being black in the world. And it's a shame that black people, after all this time of fighting, have not been given the same respect that LGBTQ people have. That's an argument too, you know? It says Christians always fail to realize that Jesus came to die for us all, not just the Christians, but that's on them, man. Yeah, no doubt. All right. So you can text me, you can call me if you want. 422-4796, 422-4796. And the phone line is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. All right. So anyway. United States celebrating Gay Pride Month. A lot of y'all have opinions about it, reactions about it. Don't look to me to be the model for what you believe about anybody. Please don't. I don't believe as y'all believe. I don't believe that marital rape is not a thing. I don't believe that women should be cut off from making choices about their own body. I don't believe as you believe. And there's absolutely nothing you could do about it or say to me, that's going to make me feel either way about it. Because these are my beliefs. Because I am who I am. All right? Okay. Going on today currently is the budget debate in the House of Assembly. All right? There is, so far, and I'm trying to be generous, not a whole lot of substance that I found has come out of the debate in terms of, I didn't know that. That's something that actually is going to make a change. And I'm going to adjust my viewpoint or my behavior, what is said. But what the prime minister did talk about was inflation. And he says, well, we know there's no magic bullet for inflation. We are importing inflation. This is why when I hear the opposition, and not to diss them, you know, they have a right to speak. But when I hear the opposition talking about do this, do that, tax the rich, XYZ, breadbasket items, I go, I don't think that's going to work. Now, the prime minister tabled a few bills when he made his communication. And when we took a closer look at those bills, they included reductions in tariffs for a number of items. We know that those bills have already been gazetted, and they should, in fact, be in effect now. We've already seen where AML Foods has posted that they expect their cost to go down on a number of items as of June 6th. Now, I'm not certain how that works. I support AML Foods, and they're a nice, generous sponsor. But I'm not sure if that's something to telegraph, like, hey, prices are going to be a lot lower, or if that's something to be used as a marketing effort to say, hey, there's going to be some savings, you know, and they may be minimal, a few cents maybe, you know. Although if you shop at the Solomon's and Cost Right, they got the membership plan. I'm not sure if that's a marketing ploy to say, okay, y'all come in, come shop. All right. Lots of stuff with prices gone down, or actually they're saying, man, we got some crazy price drops here. Come on down and see what's happening. So what has went down? All right. We have seen that the duty for cheese, lettuce, salad, beetroot, turnips, cucumbers, peas and beans, asparagus, celery, peppers, hot peppers, eggplant, spinach, pumpkin, corn, beets, artichoke, yam, cauliflower, broccoli, cassava, sweet potato, and all preserved vegetables, yeast, and baking powder have gone from 5% duty to 0%. Now, to me, it would have made more sense to put these things on the bread basket to price control them. I believe cheese is already on the bread basket. But it would have made sense to put the rest of these things on the bread basket to make sure that they are price controlled. But certainly canned veggies and a lot of this other stuff, price going down, it's going to be really beneficial. It says, additionally, prepared beef, pork, and turkey are being reduced from 20% to duty-free. Prepared beef, pork, and turkey. Prepared, what is prepared beef? Like patties? Like burger patties? Pork and turkey are being reduced from 20% to duty-free. Prepared beef, is it prepared pork or regular pork? Prepared beef, prepared pork, prepared turkey, lunch meat are being reduced from 20% to duty-free. Well, that may, I give my kids turkey. Protein powder is being reduced from 40%. Somebody help me with this. Somebody out there who's in fitness, help me with this. Because I was under the impression that protein supplements were duty-free because they were for health reasons, health and personal fitness, right? So you can buy the big, huge tin of, although Jamal Monker told me I got to be careful about it. You can buy the big, huge bucket of whey protein isolate from the supplement stores. It's like $19 in the States. It's like 50 bucks here, but you can buy that here. And I thought that was duty free and that's protein, but they say protein powder is being reduced from 40%. All right. To duty free vegetable based flour from 35% to duty free raw ground nuts from 10% to duty free. And mashed potatoes are being reduced from 35% to duty-free. Let me stick a pin in this. I'm trying not to offend anyone, but it is what it is. If you're making mashed potatoes for your man out of the box, he's going to leave you. All right? That's not what you're supposed to do. He's going to go find mashed potatoes from another woman. If you're making them out the box, right? With the flake potatoes, you're going to have problems. Just peel and boil the potatoes, man. Peel the potatoes, dice them, boil them, butter, cream, salt and pepper, mashed potato. It's not a thing. They even got the thing that mashes the potatoes down. If you're making it out the box, he's going to leave you eventually, unless he's, you know, bedridden. He's not ambulatory. But the box mashed potatoes, no. If I see it in your cupboard, if you invite me over, and I got red flags. Y'all got red flags? I got red flags. I mean, I'm married now, but when I was sick, if I see the box mashed potato in your house, I'm out. This isn't a relationship that's gonna last. You're not serious about life. I can't do it. Other foods, chicken and eggs are being reduced from 30% to 5%. Chicken parts from 30% to someone do it. Y'all be using box mashed potato? No, man. Listen, do just what I tell you to. I learned this from my mom. Take the potato, peel the potato, get a potato peeler. It's like $3. Peel the potato, dice the potato, boil the potato, run the water off in the same pot. Cream, butter, salt, pepper. Mash it up. You can use a fork. You can use a potato masher. Y'all ain't serious about life. We got to go to a break. Let me say this, though, what I note. And Michael Pintard had said this, and we'll talk about this on the other side. You're making duty-free a lot of the very things that you say you're now incentivizing Bahamians to produce locally. So I'm trying to figure out how that works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Look funny, all black up yesterday.
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
No. Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you say.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of flame-grilled beef, crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we were talking about what the stuff is that they made duty free. I can't get with your box mashed potato. I don't think it's righteous. But my point, the point that I would look at and that I would raise, because particularly listening to Clay's, in fact, let me lump all this in together. So you're making these things duty free, and that's good. That's fine. I can't tell you the last time I had a turnip, but I eat a lot of this stuff, and I prefer to eat it as well. I'm trying to switch out a lot of the heavy starches so that I can get less carbs going on in order to lean out. I'm still on a lean. I was on a ball. I was on a body recomp, but I kind of screwed that up because I wouldn't stop drinking, and then I had COVID, so that's now I'm on a lean again. And I'm doing conditioning twice a week, and then weights three times a week. But nevertheless, I eat a lot of this stuff, and so I'm happy about that. But my thing is, you listened to Clay Sweeting yesterday, and Brave Davis. When he was speaking, and they're talking about trying to make sure that we have food security. Chester Cooper just went to a CARICOM forum about agriculture, talking about how we're trying to get Bahamians back in bed. And mind you, I'm all for it, right? So if we're importing $1 billion worth of food, got to be about 250, 300 million the local market could snatch up once we get rolling. I am all about it. So for certain, let's do that. But how do you... And maybe they figured out the equation. How do you say, all right, let's reduce all this food that Bahamians say is expensive, and plus it's healthy food, which is great. That was already pretty low, so I don't know if it'll move it out a lot. But how do you make these things duty-free, and how do you go making chicken and eggs duty-free and chicken parts, chicken and eggs from 30% to 5%, and chicken parts from 30% to 10%, duck from 10% to 5%, I like duck. I've only had duck from the Chinese people. Can you, is Bahamian duck? Is that okay? I know the flamingos aren't. Anyway. At the same time, you're telling me you're investing in broilers, you're investing in hatcheries so that we can have chicken, we can have eggs. Big Bird is talking about a lot of things that'll help them. I don't know that you're not harming the industry you're trying to grow. Oftentimes you do these things because you want to, and I'll never forget this. And there's a caller who's in the radio business who disagrees with me on this sometimes. Like Obi Wishcomb, when he was in charge of broadcasting, I'm going to get back to agriculture. Give me a second. When Obi Wishcomb was in charge of broadcasting, which radio licenses fell under, he said his philosophy was anybody who qualifies for a license monetarily or got the equipment, give it to them. And then led the industry sort it out. And that sounds, you know, like sense in a free market coming from a broadcaster. But the fact of the matter is, oftentimes you will saturate a market that is not yet ready for a vast level of competition and really constrain that market from real growth and real industry growth, which include a lot of factors that we deal with to this very day. So, and people are going to get mad at me about this, but it's okay. I don't know that the least resourced people, 20, 30 of them, should be allowed the same leeway as people who are well-resourced and can run operations efficiently and can actually abide by the tenets of IRCA. Because the people who aren't resourced, they don't. And IRCA just kind of looks the other way. I know, Carlton, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I'm just saying, like, you know, IRCA wants to be a friend to them, but most of these guys are not living up to the conditions of their broadcasting license. All right, back to agriculture. Here's my thing. Brave Davis is my prime minister, right? I like him. I like where his head's at. I like where he's going. I like what he's doing. He hasn't been perfect so far, but I like it. In fact, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. All right. I had a conversation with someone and I used to think this way because I was like, boy, I don't know if he was Christie deputy prime minister, but I had a conversation with someone before the election. They were like, you know what? Minnesota's got to go. And I said, hey, man, facts. I mean, it's got to go, right? And they were like, but I don't think Brave's going to be a good prime minister. And I had to change my thinking on it. So I said to them, but how do you know that? How can you be certain that Brave Davis won't be a good prime minister? Because you don't think he was a good prime minister during good deputy prime minister? That doesn't inform how he'd be prime minister. Because when you're deputy prime minister, you're constrained a lot by what the leader does and what my cabinet does. But in any event, I say that to say, I like Brave Davis so far. It's early in the term, but if we're going by this first 9 months to a year, thumbs up, you know? You're looking at another term, if I can judge from so far. You got a lot of track left to run on, but for now, it's okay. However, I don't know that I'm going to stand up in the House of Assembly if I'm Clay Sweeting and defend the Progressive Liberal Party on BAMSI. Okay? I don't know that I can divorce myself from reality and all that's transpired previously in order to get up and defend what the PLP did with BAMSI. Was it a good idea? Sure. Was it executed correctly? No. Did it yield some good educational opportunities? Yeah, absolutely. Was a lot of our money squandered through bad corporate governance practices? Yes. Okay. So I don't know that I'm going to stand up there and defend the PLP on BAMSI. If I'm the PLP, I'm not going to go, well, yeah, but I'm not even going to touch it. I'm going to, you know what? Let me get to work. Let me make BAMSI make it happen. And then I'm going to talk about how the PLP, you know, making things happen for BAMSI. Other than that, I'm shutting up. Real talk. I couldn't do it. And that's me liking what Brave Davis is about. This is one, a lot of the things that the PLP put duty free is because they're shareholders of these major companies. For instance, it's alleged, oh God. Okay, all right, fair enough. Fair enough, fair enough. All right. All right. Now, you're assuming that making an item duty-free translates to people buying more of that item. Because a lot of times to the business, the duty is going to matter at the end of the day on the sticker, but that ain't their money. That's the government money. So whether I make more, whether duty's higher or lower, I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to move more of it, but I don't know if that translates directly. All right. But Clay Sweeting did outline a lot of what's planned for agricultural support. And I like what he said. I just wasn't going to go there myself. And I actually think Clay Sweeting is a perfect person among the MPs that are there to spearhead this. All right? Because he's from Eleuthera. He's from North Eleuthera. He's very knowledgeable in fishing. In fact, I think he had a fishing business. They do a lot of farming. All right? And they understand what it takes to deal with these sorts of businesses. And Eleuthera, of course, would be doing a lot of business back and forth with Abaco. So whatever they could do to restore what's going on, I support. Here's what the issue is. And Chester Cooper brought this up in Guyana. The major islands with arable land for growing produce, etc., they're Abaco and Grand Bahama. And both were hit by Dorian, all right? So there needs to be a really concerted effort to get Abaco and Grand Bahama back up, running properly, being able to really revitalize the agricultural sector. So whatever they can do to do that, I'm down for that. Now, in the United States, the Farm Bureau, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, for many years now, they have subsidized farms. Now, we're not comparable to the United States or Brazil or Canada in terms of growing our own food, sourcing our own food, or Mexico. And in fact, that's why the North American Free Trade Agreement really existed, because they all grow so much of different things that it makes sense to trade those things with the least interference possible among others. Well, Trump had a different idea, but, you know, we're not going to get into all that. But particularly in the United States and Canada, the government subsidizes, whether through direct cash or through buying products or through tax breaks, they subsidize the agricultural industry, all right? And it's something that we need to look at getting into more heavily here. My game plan has always been this. Let's look at the things that we eat the most of, all right? Rice, our climate isn't good for growing rice, so forget rice, all right? Although maybe somebody got a new way to grow rice. We can grow potatoes, all right? That's something. We eat a lot of potatoes. But anyway, what do we eat the most, all right? Outside of seafood, which we can deal with that. Chicken, right? Don't sit here and lie to me like y'all don't eat chicken. 40 million pounds a year. I know the tourists eat a lot of it, but still. Onion, bell pepper, tomato, lime, peas and rice, all right? Chicken, onion, bell pepper, tomato, lime, peas. I don't know why we're not concentrating on growing those things to the point where we don't need to import them. I could add avocado, but I won't. I could add coconut, but that's a different kettle of fish. We need to start focusing on growing the things here that we eat a ton of. All right, that's what they do in Jamaica, although they also have a heavy import bill. That's what they do in Haiti, right? In Haiti, because of economic conditions too, they normally eat what they can grow. Yes, they import a lot of stuff too, but a lot of times they'll eat what they can grow and they'll eat whatever's seasonal. All right. We got a lot of stuff we grow around here that we can eat, but our palate has become more accustomed to American cuisine or European cuisine. And there's a lot of stuff that grows around here that we could utilize that could have a lot of the same flavor, maybe some different texture, but could be really beneficial to us health-wise. So I don't know why we're importing chicken. We should be having chicken gone to bed. And Lang can tell you about this because he's in the chicken business. And I'm sure Lang, he had a more complex series of thoughts, but I'm sure his thought process was similar to mine and going, you know what? These people eat a lot of chicken. You just look at the customs, the lading bills, chicken all day, every day. Let me get in the chicken business. And sometimes Lang was in the chicken business and he, you know, his operation closed. Not that there wasn't a demand for chicken, but just for several different reasons. And I believe if we give more support to people who are doing in that kind of business, and even sometimes you're going to have to operate, you're going to have to fund the business as a loss leader and go, you know what, we're not going to make money for 4 or 5 years. We're going to have to really fund what Lang's going. And go, that's not fair. But at the end of the day, it's going to benefit the Bahamas. All right? Because as his operation grows and can subsume a lot of the market for imported chicken that we don't know how long that's been in a freezer or whatever, or exactly where it came from. That's going to mean Bahamian empowerment. And Bahamians, you know, they look at farming, they look at fishing weird. But the fact of the matter is those operations that are successful with farming, like Abaco Big Bird was, the fishing operations out of Eleuthera, a lot of them, they're making real money. And that's where we need to get our people. I'm sorry, we got a break or are we up? We do? Can we just go straight through? All right. So that's what's happened in the budget debate so far. We've had a few other people who've been speaking. Pia Glover-Roll spoke today. I want to understand exactly what she had to say. But let's take the break and we'll be right back.
So Celebrate every day like a birthday with Marco's Pizza Carryout Special. Spend less and get more with our large one-topping pizza for only $10.50. Yes, one topping of your choice served on our fresh dough, fresh cheese, and signature sauce. Every single day for only $10.50. Marco's Pizza, where every day something special happens. Every store, every day, the Italian way.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.